My necessaries are embarked.
Farewell. And sister, as the winds give benefit and convoy is assistant, do not sleep, but let me hear from you.
Do you doubt that?
For Hamlet, and the trifling of his favour, hold it a fashion and a toy in blood, a violet in the youth of primy nature, forward, not permanent, sweet, not lasting, the perfume and suppliance of a minute, no more.
No more, but so.
Think it no more, for nature crescent does not grow alone in thews and bulk, but as his temple waxes, the inward service of the mind and soul grows wide with all. Perhaps he loves you now, and now no soil nor cortal doth besmirch the virtue of his will. But you must fear. His greatness weighed, his will is not his own, for he himself is subject to his birth. He may not, as unvalued persons do, carve for himself, for on his choice depends the sanity and health of this whole state. Therefore must his choice be circumscribed unto the voice and yielding of that body whereof he is the head. Then, if he says he loves you, it fits your wisdom so far to believe it as he in his particular act and place may give his saying deed, which is no further than the main voice of Denmark goes with all. Then weigh what loss your honour may sustain if with too credent ear you list his songs, or lose your heart, or your chaste treasure open to his unmastered importunity.
No,
now fear it, Ophelia, fear it, my dear sister! And keep within the rear of your affection, out of the shot and danger of desire. The chariest maid is prodigal enough if she unmask her beauty to the moon. Virtue itself scapes not calumnious strokes. The canker galls the infants of the spring too oft before their buttons be disclosed. And in the morn and liquid dew of youth, contagious blastments are most imminent. Be wary, then. Best safety lies in fear. Youth to itself rebels, though none else near.
I shall the effect of this good lesson keep as watchman to my heart. But, good my brother, do not, as some ungracious pastors do, show me the steep and thorny way to heaven, whilst like a puffed and reckless libertine himself the primrose path of dalliance treads and recks not his own reed.
Oh, fear me not. I stay too long. But here my father comes. A double blessing is a double grace. Occasion smiles upon the second leave.
There it is. Aboard, aboard, for shame. The wind sits in the shoulder of your sail and you are stayed for. There. My blessing with thee. And these few precepts in thy memory, see thou correct up. Give thy thoughts no tongue, nor any unproportioned thought his act. Mm-hmm. Be thou familiar, but by no means vulgar. The friends thou hast, and their adoption tried, grapple them to thy soul with hoops of steel. But do not dull thy palm with entertainment of each new-hatched, unfledged comrade. Beware of entrance to a quarrel, but being in, bear it that the opposed may beware of thee. Give every man thine ear, but few thy voice. Take each man's censure, but reserve thy judgment. Costly thy habit, as thy purse can buy, but not expressed in fancy, rich, not gaudy. For the apparel oft proclaims the man, and they in France of the best rank and station are of a most select and generous chief in that. Neither a borrower nor a lender be, for loan oft loses both itself and friend, and borrowing dulls the edge of husbandry. This above all, to thine own self be true, and it must follow, as the night the day, thou canst not then be false to any man. Farewell. My blessing season this in thee.
Most humbly do I take my leave, my lord.
The time invites you. Go, your servants tend.
Farewell, Ophelia. And remember well what I have said to you.
'Tis in my memory locked, and you yourself shall keep the key of it.
Oh. Mm. Farewell.
What is't, Ophelia, he hath said to you?
So please you, something touching my Lord Hamlet.
Marry, well bethought. 'Tis told me he hath very oft of late given private time to you, and you yourself have of your audience been most free and bounteous. If it be so, as so 'tis put on me, and that in way of caution, I must tell you, you do not understand yourself so clearly as it behoves my daughter and your honor. What is between you? Give me up the truth.
But he hath, my lord, of late made many tenders of his affection to me.
Affection? Pooh! You speak like a green girl, unsifted in such perilous circumstance. Do you believe his tenders, as you call them?
I do not know, my lord, what I should think.
Well, marry, I'll teach you. Think yourself a baby that you obtain his tenders for true pay which are not sterling. Tender yourself more dearly, or, not to crack the wind of the poor phrase, running it thus, you tender me a fool.
My lord, he hath importuned me with love in honourable fashion.
Aye, fashion you may call it, goat, goat.
And I've given countenance to his speech, my lord, with almost all the holy vows of heaven.
Aye, springes to catch woodcocks. I do know when the blood burns how prodigal the soul lends the tongue vows. These blazes, daughter, giving more light than heat, extinct in both, even in their promise, as it is a making, you must not take for fire. From this time be somewhat scanter of your maiden presence. Set your entreatments at a higher rate than a command to parley. For Lord Hamlet believes so much in him that he is young, and with a larger terror may he walk than may be given you. In few, Ophelia, do not believe his vows, for they are brokers, not of the dye which their investments show, but mere imploritors of unholy suits, breathing like sanctified and pious bawds, the better to beguile. This is for all. I would not in plain terms from this time forth have you so slander any moment leisure as to give words or talk with the Lord Hamlet. Look to it, I charge you. Come your ways.
I shall obey, my lord.
The air bites shrewdly. It's very cold.
It is a nipping and an eager air.
What hour now?
I think it lacks of 12.
No, it is struck.
Indeed? I heard it not. And it draws near the season wherein the spirit held his wont to walk. What does this mean, my lord?
The king doth wake tonight and takes his rouse, keeps wassail, and the swaggering upspring reels. And as he drains his draughts of Rhenish down, the kettle drum and trumpet thus bray out the triumph of his pledge.
Is it a custom?
Aye, marriest. But to my mind, though I am native here and to the manor born, it is a custom more honored in the breach than the observance. This heavy-headed revel, east and west, makes us traduced and taxed of other nations. They clap us drunkards, and with swinish phrase soil our addition. And indeed it takes from our achievements, though performed at height, the very pith and marrow of our attributes. So oft it chances in particular men that for some vicious mole of nature in them as in their birth, wherein they are not guilty, since nature cannot choose his origin, by the o'ergrowth of some complexion, oft breaking down the pales and forts of reason, or by some habit that too much o'erleavens the form of plausive manners, that these men carrying, I say, the stamp of one defect, being nature's livery or fortune's star, his virtues else be they as pure as grace, as infinite as man may undergo, shall in the general censure take corruption from that particular fault. The dram of evil doth all the noble substance overdaub to his own scandal.
Look, my lord, it comes.
Angels and ministers of grace defend us.
Be thou a spirit of health, or goblin damned, bring with thee airs from heaven or blasts from hell. Be thy intents wicked or charitable, thou comest in such a questionable shape that I will speak to thee. I'll call thee Hamlet, king, father, royal Dane. Oh, answer me! Let me not burst in ignorance, but tell why thy canonized bones, hersed in death, have burst their cerements. Why, the sepulchre, wherein we saw thee quietly inurned, hath oped his ponderous and marble jaws to cast thee up again. What may this mean?
that thou dead corpse again in complete steel revisit fast the glimpses of the moon, making night hideous and we, fools of nature, so horridly to shake our disposition with thoughts beyond the reaches of our souls. Say, why is this? Wherefore? What should we do? It beckons you to go away with it, as if it's some impartment to desire to you alone.
With what courteous action it waves you to a more removed ground.
But do not go with it. No, by no means. It will not speak.
Then I will follow it.
Do not, my lord.
Why, what should be the fear? I do not set my life at a pin's fee, and for my soul, what can it do to that, being a thing immortal as itself?
It waves me forth again.
I'll follow it.
What if it tempt you toward the flood, my lord? Or to the dreadful summit of the cliff that beetles o'er his base into the sea, and there assume some other horrible form, which might deprive your sovereignty of reason and draw you into madness? Think of it! The very place puts toys of desperation without more motive into every brain that looks so many fathoms to the sea and hears it roar beneath.
It waves me still.
Go on, I'll follow thee.
You shall not go, my lord.
Hold off your hands.
Be ruled, you shall not go.
My fate cries out and makes these petty artery in this body as hardy as the Nemean lion's nerve. Still am I called.
Unhand me, gentlemen.
By heaven, I'll make a ghost of him that lets me.
I say away.
Go on, I'll follow thee. He waxes desperate with imagination.
Let's follow. 'Tis not fit thus to obey him.
Have after. To what issue will this come?
Something is rotten in the state of Denmark.
Heaven will direct it.
Nay, let's follow him.
Whither wilt thou lead me? Speak! I'll go no further!
Mark me.
I will.
Thy hour is almost come, when I to sulphurous and tormenting flames must render up myself.
Alas, poor ghost.
Pity me not, but lend thy serious hearing to what I shall unfold.
Speak, I am bound to hear.
So art thou to revenge when thou shalt hear.
What?
I am thy father's spirit. Doomed for a certain term to walk the night, and for the day confined to fast in fires, till the foul crimes done in my days of nature are burnt and purged away. But that I am forbid to tell the secrets of my prison house, I could a tale unfold, whose lightest word would harrow up thy soul, freeze thy young blood, make thy two eyes like stars start from their spheres, thy knotted and binded locks to part, and each particular hair to stand an end like quills upon the fretful porpentine. But this eternal blazon must not be to ears of flesh and blood. List, list, oh, list, if thou didst ever thy dear father love.
Oh, God!
Revenge his foul and most unnatural murder.
Murder?
Murder most foul, as in the best it is. For this most foul, strange and unnatural.
Haste me to know it, that I, with wings as swift as meditation or the thoughts of love, may sweep to my revenge.
I find thee apt. And duller shouldst thou be when the fat weed roots itself in ease on the leafy wharf, wouldst thou not stir in this. Now, Hamlet, here. 'Tis given out that sleeping in my orchard a serpent stung me. So the whole ear of Denmark is by a forged process of my death rankly abused. But know, thou noble youth, the serpent that did sting thy father's life now wears his crown.
Oh, my prophetic soul, my uncle!
Aye, that incestuous, that adulterate beast, with witchcraft of his wit, with traitorous gifts, all wicked wit and gifts that have the power so to seduce, won to his shameful lust the will of my most seeming virtuous queen.
No.
Oh, Hamlet, what a falling off was there. For me, whose love was of that dignity that it went hand in hand, even with the vow I made to her in marriage, and to decline upon a wretch whose natural gifts were poor to those of mine. And virtue, as it never will be moved, the lewdness courted in a shape of heaven, so lust, though to a radiant angel linked, will sate itself in a celestial bed and prey on garbage. But soft, methinks I scent the morning air. Brief let me be, sleeping within my orchard, my custom always in the afternoon. Upon my secure hour, thy uncle stole with juice of cursed hebenon in a vial, and in the porches of mine ears did pour the leprous distillment, whose effect holds such an enmity with blood of man that swift as quicksilver it courses through the natural gates and alleys of the body, and with a sudden vigor it doth posset and curd like eager droppings into milk the thin and wholesome blood. So did it not. And a most instant tetter barked about, most leather-like, with vile and loathsome crust, all my smooth body. Thus was I sleeping by a brother's hand, of life, of crown, of queen, at once dispatched, cut off even in the blossoms of my sin, unhouseled, disappointed, unannealed, no reckoning made, but sent to my account with all my imperfections on my head. Oh, horrible, oh, horrible, most horrible. If thou hast nature in thee, bear it not. Let not the royal bed of Denmark be a couch for luxury and damned incest. But howsoever thou pursuest this act, taint not thy mind, nor let thy soul contrive against thy mother aught. Leave her to heaven, and to those thorns that in her bosom lodge to prick and sting her. Fare thee well at once. What? The glowworm shows the matin to be near, and begins to pale his ineffectual fires. Adieu, adieu, Hamlet, remember me.
Oh, all you host of heaven, oh earth, what else? And shall I couple hell, oh fire, hold, hold my heart. And you, my sinews, grow not instant old, but bear me stiffly up. Remember thee, aye, thou poor ghost, whilst memory holds a seat in this distracted globe. Remember thee, yea, from the table of my memory I'll wipe away all trivial fond records, all sores of books, all forms, all pressures past that youth and observation copied there, and thy commandment all alone shall live within the book and volume of my brain, unmixed with baser matter. Yes, by heaven. Oh, most pernicious woman. Oh, villain. Villain, smiling, dominant villain. My tables. Meet it is. I set it down, that one may smile and smile and be a villain. At least I am sure it may be so in Denmark. So, uncle, there you are. Now to my word, it is adieu, adieu. Remember me. I have sworn.
My lord! My lord! My lord! Lord Hamlet! Heaven secure him!
So be it.
Hello! Oh! My lord!
Hello! Oh! Oh! Boy! Come back! Come!
How is my noble lord? What news, my lord?
Oh, wonderful!
Good, my lord, tell it. No, you will reveal it. Not I, my lord, by heaven.
Nor I, my lord. How say you, then? Would heart of man once think it?
But you'll be secret.
By heaven, my lord.
By heaven, my lord.
There's ne'er a villain dwelling in all Denmark
But he's an arrant knave.
There needs no ghost, my lord, come from the grave to tell us this.
Why, right, you were at the right. And so, without more circumstance at all, I hold it fit that we shake hands and part. You as your business and desire shall point you, for every man hath business and desire, such as it is. And for my own poor part, look you, I'll go pray.
These are but wild and whirling words, my lord.
I'm sorry they offend you heartily. Yes, faith, heartily.
There's no offence, my lord.
Yes, by St. Patrick, but there is, Horatio, and much offence too. Touching this vision here, it is an honest ghost, that let me tell you, for your desire to know what is between us, or master it as you may. And now, good friends, as you are friends, scholars and soldiers, give me one poor request.
What is, my lord? We will.
Never make known what you have seen tonight.
My lord? We will not.
Nay, but swear it.
In faith, my lord, not I.
Nor I, my lord, in faith.
Upon my sword.
We have sworn, my lord, already.
Indeed, upon my sword, indeed.
Swear.
Boy, sayest thou so? Art thou there, true penny? Come on, you hear this fellow in the cellarage. Consent to swear.
Propose the oath, my lord.
Never to speak of this that you have seen. Swear by my sword.
Swear.
We swear.
We swear.
Hic et ubique. Then we'll shift our ground. Come hither, gentlemen, and lay your hands again upon my sword. Never to speak of this that you have heard. Swear by my sword.
Swear by his sword.
We swear.
Well said, old mole. Canst work in the earth so fast. A worthy pioneer.
Once more, remove, good friends.
Glow day and night. But this is wondrous strange.
And therefore, as a stranger, give it welcome. There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in our philosophy. But come, here as before, never, so help you mercy, how strange or odd soe'er I bear myself, as I perchance hereafter shall think meet to put an antic disposition on, that you, at such time seeing me, never shall, with arms encumbered thus or thus head shaked, or by pronouncing of some doubtful phrase, as well we know, or we could and if we would, or if we list to speak, or they be and if they might, or such ambiguous giving out to note that you know aught of me, this not to do. So grace and mercy at your most need help you. Swear. We swear!
Rest. Rest. Perturbed spirit. So, gentlemen, with all my love, I do commend me to you. And what so poor a man as Hamlet is may do to express his love and friending to you, God willing, shall not lack. Let us go in together. And still, your fingers on your lips, I pray. The time is out of joint. Oh, cursed spite, that ever I was born to set it right.
Nay,
come. Let's go together.
Give him this money and these notes, Ronaldo.
I will, my lord.
You shall do marvelous wisely, good Ronaldo, before you visit him to make inquiry of his behavior.
My lord, I did intend it.
Very well said, very well said. Look you, sir. Inquire me first what Danskers are in Paris, and how and who, what means and where they keep, what company, at what expense, and finding by this encompassment and drift of question that they do know my son, come you more nearer than your particular demands will touch it. Take you, as twere, some distant knowledge of him. As thus, I know his father and his friends, and in part him. Do you mark this, Ronaldo?
Aye, very well, my lord.
And in part him, but, you may say, not well. But if be he I mean, he's very wild, addicted, so-and-so, and there put on him what forgeries you please. Marry, none so rank as may dishonour him, take heed of that, but, sir, such wanton, wild, and usual slips as are companions noted and most known to youth and liberty.
As gaming, my lord.
Aye, or drinking, fencing, swearing, quarrelling,
drabbing, you may go so far.
Oh, my lord, that would dishonor him.
Faith, no, as you may season it in the charge. You must not put another scandal on him that he is open to incontinency. That's not my meaning. But breathe his faults so quaintly that they may seem the taints of liberty. The flash and outbreak of a fiery mind. A savageness in unreclaimed blood of general assault.
But, my good lord...
Wherefore should you do this?
Aye, my lord, I would know that.
Marry, sir, here's my drift. And I believe it is a fetch of warrant. You laying these slight sullies on my son, as 'twere a thing a little soiled i' the working, mark you, your party in converse, him you would sound, having ever seen in the predominant crimes the youth you breathe of guilty, be assured he closes with you in this consequence. Good sir, or so, or friend, or gentleman, according to the phrase and the addition of man and country.
Very good, my lord.
And then, sir, does he this? He does... What was I about to say? Oh, by the mass, I was about to say something. Where did I leave?
At closes in the consequence, at friend or so, and gentleman.
At closes in the consequence, aye, marry. He closes with you thus. I know the gentleman. I saw him yesterday, or t'other day, or then, with such and such. And as you say, there was he gaming, there o'ertook his rouse, there falling out at tennis, or perchance I saw him enter such a house of sale, videlicet, set a brothel, or so forth. See you now. Your bait of falsehood takes this carp of truth. And thus do we, of wisdom and of reach, with windlasses and with assays of bias, by indirections, find directions out. So, by my former lecture and advice, shall you, my son. You have me, have you not?
My lord, I have.
God by you, fare you well.
Good, my lord.
Observe his inclination in yourself.
I shall, my lord.
And let him ply his music.
Well, my lord.
Farewell. And now, Ophelia, what's the matter?
Alas, my lord, I have been so affrighted.
With what, in the name of God?
My lord, as I was sewing in my chamber, Lord Hamlet, with his doublet all unbraced, no hat upon his head, his stockings fouled, ungartered and down jivet to his ankle, pale as his shirt, his knees knocking each other, and with a look so piteous in purport, as if he had been lucid out of hell to speak of horrors, he comes before me.
Mad for thy love?
My lord, I do not know, but truly I do fear it.
What said he?
He took me by the wrist and held me hard. Then goes he to the length of all his arm, and with his other hand, thus o'er his brow, he forced a such perusal of my face as he would draw it. Oh. Long stared he so. At last, a little shaking of mine arm, and thrice his head, thus waving up and down, he raised a sigh so piteous and profound that it did seem to shatter all his bulk and end his being.
Oh!
That done, he lets me go, and with his head over his shoulder turned, he seemed to find his way without his eyes, for out of doors he went without their help, and to the last bended their light on me.
Come, go with me. I will go seek the king. This is the very ecstasy of love, whose violent property foredoes itself and leads the will to desperate undertakings as oft as any passion under heaven that does afflict our natures. I am sorry. Have you given him any hard words of late?
No, my good lord, but as you did command, I did repel his letters and denied his access to me.
That hath made him mad. I am sorry that with better speed and judgment I had not coated him. I feared he did but trifle and meant to wreck thee. But beshrew my jealousy. Well, by heaven, it is as proper to our age to cast beyond ourselves in our opinions as it is common for the younger sort to lack discretion. Come, go we to the king. This must be known, which being kept close might move more grief to hide than hate to utter love.